When we talked about love for the first time on Imagine Burundi, we made it a special occasion, our holiday special show in December. And even though Valentine's Day just passed, we can talk about this topic anytime. Love is just one of those things that's incredibly popular and intriguing, and we knew one show was not going to be enough. So today, we are presenting Love Stories in Burundi, Part 2. In the first part, we heard from a cross-section of Burundians, five of them, each telling a different story about their experiences with love. But now we want to take it in a different direction, or rather, many different directions and dimensions. We're going to take this idea of love and stretch it sideways, turn it upside down, even go back in time with it. Stay tuned. This is 99.4 FM CCIB. I'm Jefferson Mock, and you're listening to Imagine Burundi. So the radio plays, I think I need a new heart. Okay, we've got lots to do in part two of Love Stories. We want to find even more interesting angles to approach this immortal subject, which means we weren't kidding about the time travel. So, we've broken up this segment into three parts. First, our good friend and resident expert on love, Amina, will dig deep on one question. One question only. What is your idea of romance? She speaks to a few friends to find the answer. Then, our other new reporter, Dado, will explore love's meaning in the wider world, speaking to as many people as he can, or they'll talk to him to fulfill his quest. And finally, I take on a delicate question. How did the previous generation deal with love? I go back in time and talk to Chris's mom to find out how she met her husband. Let's start with Amina.
Okay, so now I'm talking to a student.
Whose name is?
Alvarez Nafatiro. I am 19 years old. I'm a student at Etes Kamenge in a computer science maintenance section.
And Alvarez joins us for
an Imagine Burundi conversation. Yeah, we are going to talk about romance.
Wait, what are we talking about again?
Romance.
Right. And what is romance?
I may say that romance may be an exciting, usually short relationship between two people who are in love with each other. Mm-hmm. Or the feeling of being in love with somebody.
Okay. Can romance mean anything else?
Of course, yes. Romance can be also a feeling of excitement that somebody may feel when he or she is in a particular place. For example, being on the beach can bring some excitement because of the cold weather or when you are meeting different people. Yeah.
So a place or environment can create romance. What else can create this mood?
Yeah, when you are reading a book, you may feel a romance somewhere.
What about people?
Yeah, for instance, when they are in the bar with their close friends, they used to tell me that is a romantic way.
Wow, I've never heard of that. Oh, I get by with a little
help from my friend. So now Amina opens it up for a group discussion, and she invited a few friends to share their thoughts about romance.
Welcome to another interview of Imagine Burundi. But before we start, I'd like you to do your self-introduction. We begin by the lady.
My name is Cynthia Quinn.
Richard Cheese.
I'm Yvette.
I am Alphonse, also known as GB.
Well, at first the group talks more about love than romance, like this.
The whole question is, what do you guys understand by romance? Who's going to begin?
It's the feeling that someone cannot know how to explain it. This is what I can say on my side.
The way that I understand this word, romance, I understand the relationship which is between a girl and a boy of different parents. Yeah, it's that.
But then Richard says something that I can only describe as explosive.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think in Burundi, there is no romance love. Because all girls, they don't care about money, only that. You know, when they see a man come in, just, you know, something to tell them, something about love. Only what they just check is the pocket. If the boy is pocket full, yeah, then once the boy is not pocket full of money, then say, hey, no, I cannot fall in love with you. Then you see that, yeah, in Burundi, really, romance love is Yeah, I don't see it. There is no. Yeah.
That. Okay. It looks like we're going to have to do a whole separate show on this topic. Let's go back to something Alvarez said, that a place or environment can create romance.
Let me ask you a personal question. Which place that you like, that you feel that you have got a lot of feelings when you reach at that place? Which place is that? Yeah, I know you have different places that you love. Which place is that?
I think, as I said before, that uniformly romance love doesn't exist. But I didn't mean that it's for all girls or all boys, but for some. And I think when you are in a romance love, the first place where you can take your lover is you go there on the beach, try to walk, to make her see different things that she didn't see before, something like that. And you try to enjoy yourself there. Maybe if you got some songs, you have to sing for her so that she can be happy. Yeah, something like that, you know. Yeah, in the sweet words.
For you is going on a beach. Somebody else? Going where? Which place that makes you feel that you're in heaven?
I is at the beach. You go to swim, to drink, to eat, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, you love also the beach, but I see you are a swimmer, you are a fish because you like to swim. Somebody else?
Okay, me, I can say that to the forests when you can see that anybody, yes, two persons only, yes.
Wow, you make me think about a movie. You are a tourist. I can see you feel like being a tourist. Because when going in the forest, maybe you want to discover some different withers from yours, or you're gonna find out some different places. Thanks again, all of you, for joining me in this conversation, and I hope everybody will hear from Burundians what's romance. Thank you so much.
So we spent quite a bit of time hearing what Burundians think about love and romance, but now we want to go outside of Burundi. Next up, Dado goes all over the world, metaphorically, to bring us an international survey of Valentine's Day practices. Now, the first thing you should know is that it's not always easy to talk about love or romance or Valentine's Day, like this.
Is there any song, movie you associate with Valentine's Day?
No.
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 Okay, well, let's start with the basics. What do people do on Valentine's Day? Here's Corey from America.
Valentine's Day in America it's very funny, looking back. Children bring in cards with different cartoons or different movie characters, and you give them out to everyone in your class.
I want to hear more about these cards. Here's Julianne from Ottawa, Canada, to tell us more about Valentine's Day cards.
It's a really big deal to give out cards to your classmates. So the first thing you do is the week leading up to Valentine's Day, you have to create the thing your cards are going to go in. So it might be a decorated bag with hearts or a little box with Cupid and arrows on it. So you have to make your really good box or bag for your cards to go in.
And what about the cards themselves?
They sometimes have funny phrases or candy attached, like lollipops or these candy hearts.
Hearts?
The stores sell all sorts of chocolate hearts, and there's cinnamon hearts, and also the little hearts that have
fun phrases on them, like,
I want you, and I miss you, and text me. And
text me, or email me, or call me.
Okay, candy, flower, cards. But what I'm really hearing is
text me and
text me,
text me and
call me.
Oh my goodness. Valentine's Day sounds so demanding. Now let's get some reactions to Valentine's Day, the holiday.
And how do you feel about Valentine's Day?
I don't really like Valentine's Day.
Why don't you like Valentine's Day?
First of all, I don't think there's a special day to say I love you. Like, shouldn't they say one day out of 365 days a year?
Well, that's a good point. Any other reason?
Sometimes it's a day that I think can actually make you in trouble.
Okay, no laughing.
Because when you're in a relationship, it's not just about you, it's about the other person too.
That's actually an incredibly sensitive and mature thing to say.
So, sometimes, honestly, you have to play the game.
Oh, ouch. Okay, well, maybe our next guest has had better luck. Here's Salif from Germany.
I had an almost breakup on Valentine's Day. A big fight in a restaurant.
Or maybe Didier. Didier is from Burundi.
Let me just say all the wrong things that I wanted to do, that day I did them. Yeah, it was cool. We did not celebrate it like other people did, like giving chocolate or flowers, you know. We did drink a lot, and we were like 16 years old.
Okay, I'm starting to see a pattern here. Let's try one more. Steve from Kenya. How does he feel about Valentine's Day?
I don't know how to put this. Because I know I've experienced the bad, the good, and the ugly.
Okay, Steve. And have you had any really memorable experiences with Valentine's Day?
Yeah, of course there's one. I once had a girlfriend and, yeah, on Valentine's Day, that's 14th, she came over. I was living in Rwanda. And I actually had all the way from the gate through the driveway, paved with rose petals. I had a chocolate, I had a candles in the house, and I bought a bouquet of flowers. But it ended up in an argument, which made it all useless.
Wow. Steve just might win the contest for worst Valentine's Day ever. But then he says something that's really wise and touching. Here, I'm going to play through Steve's entire response.
So I don't look for the glitter, glitz or glamour in Valentine. All you need to look at is, why are you here? Why am I here? What are we gonna do? What do you wanna do? It's not about sharing it with your girlfriend alone. My best Valentines have actually been spent with my friends. Sit down, relax, chat. Share those special moments when you actually don't even think of anything like, I love you or I don't love you, but you're my friend. You care to me. And I care about you. That's all that matters to me. And if that's okay, doesn't matter where it's done.
We love redemption. But beside making men suffer, what is this holiday really about? Like, where did it come from? And what does it mean to people today? Here's Dado talking with Didier, who's from Burundi.
So what do you think is the origin of Valentine's? Where does it come from?
I have no idea. But I think it's from America.
Is that a question?
I think, you know, they just wanted to find something to boost, to make people buy things, to spend their money. It's actually a good practice in an economy, yeah.
And this is Davis, who's also Burundian.
I think now it's part of our culture. It's and it will keep being enrooted in our culture. And I think it's a good thing, actually.
And again, here's Salif from Germany.
And the topic of Valentine's in Germany, for me, it seems it's been a recent acquisition from United States, and one has the impression it's like a conspiracy of flower shops, chocolate manufacturers, and probably like Hallmark greeting cards industry. Similar like Halloween, I think Halloween and Valentine's are two things that have not really existed in Germany from my perspective, and it has recently came like 10 years ago. So for me, it's not really an important holiday or even a day to celebrate. For me, it really is like a Hollywood product.
Now we hear from Sheila, who's from Italy.
I mean, it can be a nice, you know, occasion to give flowers, but I prefer, spontaneous manifestations of love or whatever, but I don't really like to have like a precise date where you're supposed to behave in a certain way. And as I said, I think most of my friends think in a similar way. About the origins, I think it's an American thing. So maybe that already makes it a bit unpopular in Europe.
So I'm hearing that many people think Valentine's Day is an American celebration. Maybe the modern version is, but you know what? The truth is, Valentine's Day became a romantic occasion around the 14th century, when an English poet named Chaucer wrote about it. Then about 20 years later, and I'm not making this up, the French actually established a high court of love to pass judgments on questions like betrayal and jealousy and mistreatment of women. Which sort of begs the question, is there really justice in love? So maybe it's not completely an American thing. But whatever the origins, here's a story of what Valentine's Day could be. This is Safi from London in the UK.
My favourite Valentine's memory was the time that I was with someone I loved very much and they decided to take me to Paris, which is probably one of the most romantic cities in the world. And on February the 14th, I was told to go to the train station. And I went to the train station thinking I was going to get a train to London, somewhere else in London. But instead, I was taken on the Eurostar. And 2 hours and a half later from leaving London, I was in Paris. And it was absolutely fantastic. I saw the Eiffel Tower. I saw Arc de Triomphe. I ate snails, which as a British person, you don't really do. And I had champagne. So it was the best Valentine's Day ever. And I don't think, even though I'm single and there's an opportunity to get married in the future, I don't know if anyone could beat that one. So.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Next up, we have a very special interview. If we went all around the world with Dado, now I'm going to take us back in time to hear about love from a different generation. And now I'm very honored to be joined by
Françoise Nibizi, I'm Chris' mom.
That's right, we have Chris's mom on the show. Chris, I hope you're listening, and I think you'll find this very interesting, as will all of our listeners. So, Françoise, we're having you on the show today to continue our discussions about love stories. Sometimes we look at this issue sideways, going to different cultures. Sometimes we look at a little bit deeper, like when we heard our friend talk about romance. But now we want to do something very different. We want to go back in time, and we want to hear how your generation conducted courtship, conducted romance. So we want to hear how you met your husband and what that whole process was like. Can you start for us by telling us how you met your husband?
Okay. That was in 1985. I had gone for a wedding up country. You know, during summer, there is a lot of wedding going on in Burundi. So I had been chosen to serve the wedding couple. So I went to that wedding. After the wedding, I went to sleep to my mom's place. So that was on Saturday, as I had to come back to Bujumbura because I was working in Bujumbura at that time. So I had to wake up very early in the morning on Sunday morning to go and catch up the bus because there was only one bus coming to Bujumbura at that time. So before I could go to the bus, I decided to go and visit my neighbors. So I had six families to visit. So I stated that I went to visit one family, the second family. And when I went to the third family, I found that they had visitors. There were two men and two girls. So I remember they were having their breakfast. They are having bananas, green bananas, cooked with a lot of vegetables. So I greeted them, and then I went quickly at the back to have a chat with the mama of that family. So I had the chat, and then I told her that I had to go. I had three more families to visit, and then I said to her bye. So when I went back to say bye to the visitors, one of the men asked me why I was in a hurry. So I told him, I have to go to catch up the bus. and you know, there's only one bus going to Bujumbura. And then he told me, you know, we still have a place in our car, so you can join us. I said, oh, thank you.
So you accepted?
I accepted because, you know, that day, during those times, the road from our place to Bujumbura was really bad. And in that Otrako bus, it was a hell. So I was really so thankful. So I accepted the lift, and then I told him that I had to go visit those families and then go back home and take my things and then come back. So I visited those families, and then I went back home. 'Cause I got wheels and you wanna go for a ride. When I went back home, I told to my mom, you know, there is visitors to our neighbor, and then one of the men had offered me a lift, and then she asked me, who is the man? And then I told him. I told her the name, and then she said, "Yo, you know, he's a good man. Yeah, you can go. I know he will take you." So, okay, we went to that lift. And then during our journey, I could remember he was really, he knew many things. He was telling me about where he works, many countries where he had visited, and I was so impressed because me at that time I only knew my place and maybe Bujumbura, even Burundi. I didn't know the whole Burundi. So I kept on asking him questions about all those countries he had visited, about his work, and I was really impressed. So the journey from our place to Bujumbura was really short.
So was it just you two talking, or were the other people joining in this conversation?
Yeah, no, other people were talking too, but I could, now after the wise, I realized that it was even him asking many questions about what I do, my job, where I did my schoolings, and then it's like only us all two, we were talking that car. And then when we reached Bujumbura, he took to my place where I was living, and then Monday I had go to the office, and we had meetings on Monday mornings. So I went to that meeting, and when I came back from the meeting, the receptionist told me that there is a man who had been calling me. Yeah, because we had exchanged our telephone numbers. That time there were no mobiles, so it was only office telephone number and home. So I had given him those two numbers. So the receptionist told me that the man called three times, then he asked to call him back. Okay, I called him, and then I asked him if there were, I thought maybe I had forgotten something in his car. So when I called him, he said, okay, I just wanted to check if you had a good night. That was a bit strange to me. And he asked me whether I had some plan for in the evening. And I said, I don't have any plan. And then he asked me, okay, can we meet? And I said, okay, we can meet. And then he took me to Hotel Meridien. I was so impressed. You know, it was my first time to enter that hotel.
The Meridien, which we know now is the Source du Nil.
Exactly.
Sort of the luxurious hotel
exactly.
In Bujumbura.
At that time, it was so nice and so beautiful. So I was really impressed, and he could tell. And then we went, and then we sit in a place. I could tell that he had already ordered a place, a very quiet place. And then we had a drink, and when we were talking, he said, you know, I know you might find this funny, but I wanted to tell you that I have been observing you since Saturday, when you were serving the married couple, and I think I've fallen in love with you. So I really didn't know what to say. And then he told me, you know, I told you that I travel a lot. I'm leaving tomorrow. I wanted to tell you this before I go. But I'm not asking you to tell me anything now. I just wanted to tell you what I think about you before I go. Okay, I said, I really didn't know what to say. I was shaking. So, and then he told me, you know, just think about it. I'm coming back in 2 weeks, huh? Think about it, and then you let me know what you think. Okay, he went.
Where was he going?
He was going to Brussels. So he went in Brussels, And then I really didn't know what to think. But I remembered my mom said that it was a good man. So I decided to go.
What did she mean by that when she says a good man?
Exactly. That's what I wanted to find out. So on Saturday, I went to my mom's place. And then I asked her, do you remember that man who gave me a lift? And then she said, yes. Why did you say that he was a good man? What did you meant? And then she said, yeah, I know his parents. But that doesn't mean anything. The parents can be good, but it doesn't. I said, no, we know. I know him since he was young. I know. And then she was telling me, you know, he has done a lot of studies. But, you know, she was not telling me anything. And then she asked me, why are you asking? And then I told her what happened. You know, we were closed. And then she said, oh, my girl, you are so lucky.
Okay, I don't know about you guys, but at this point, I had questions. So many questions. So, okay, let me just take a small break here and ask you, because it sounded like when he invited you to the Hotel Meridian, it sounded like a casual thing, or you didn't seem to think there was going to be anything big happening out of it.
No, not really, because I could see that he was somebody who really wanted to have a chat, he wanted to talk about things, about his work, about countries he had visited. And me, I was interested because I was learning a lot of things from him. So in my head, I said, okay, let me go. Maybe I'll learn some more. Yeah.
At what point did you think, this is not just a chat. There's something else coming.
Yeah. So when we had a seat, I could see that he had changed. It's like he was not so relaxed as he was yesterday, and I could sense something strange about him.
And now you said that this happened over several days. He met you and then the time between that and the hotel meeting was only about 3 days.
Two, three days.
Is this normal in that time period with the customs the way it was? Was it normal for a man to approach a woman like that and be so direct?
Yeah, I think it wasn't normal, but I could see that maybe he wanted to catch up because he was telling me that he's going to travel. And I think he knew more about me. You know, I think I could tell that he had done more research because everything I was telling him, it's like he knew already. I could tell that he really knew me.
How did that make you feel, that he had done research about you?
Well, I really didn't like. But anyway, it's good because maybe everybody who has been asking maybe told him nice things about me.
Never, never change. Keep that breathless charm.
So now he's in Brussels.
Yeah.
You're thinking about this, you talk to your mom, and then he comes back.
Before he comes back, he called to my house, but unfortunately I wasn't there. So the mama of that house picked up the phone, and then when I came back, she asked me, who is that man calling you from Brussels? And then I told her who he was, and she knew him. And then she asked me, why is he calling you from there? And then I told her about what happened. And then she said, oh, you are so lucky. And then I asked her, do you know him? And then she said, you know, he has a very nice job. But that's, you know, that time, that's how they really saw about things. Somebody who has a nice job and from a good family. That's how people saw things. And then she said, you know, don't waste your chance. And then he came back. Before he came back, he called again. That time he got me. And then he asked me if I could go and meet him at the airport. And then I told him, you know, I really don't have any means to go to the airport. And then he said, you don't have to worry. My driver will come and pick you. So we went to the airport. And when he came back, it's like I could really see that he has already changed. And the way he hugged me, I was a bit ashamed. And then I think our story started that day. Yeah.
When you saw him at the airport, were you happy to see him?
Yeah, I was, because I had already done my research, you know. Yeah, I had talked to many people. I had even talked about him to my friends, and most of them, they were positive about him, yeah. But I kept on telling him, like, you know, he's a bit older than me, and he's somebody who travels a lot. I won't see him. So, but it's like when he came back, he really tried to say, you know, there is no problem. Even if I travel, I will be calling you. I will be sending you cards. There were no email that time. Yeah.
And did he do those things?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I still don't have those postcards. Yeah.
So it sounds like both of you did a lot of research around the person.
Yeah.
But what were your interactions like after that time that he came back from his trip?
Yeah.
Did you start seeing each other more regularly? Did you go out and have more talks?
Yeah, of course. We continue. It's like almost every day. Almost every day we were together. And then during Christmas time, we even went to visit our parents. He suggested to take me to visit his parents. But when I reached there, I could tell that they knew things. Yeah. And then I took him to visit my mom. And on my birthday, that was in January, that's when he really asked me for wedding. Yeah, that was on 30th January, 1986. So when I agreed, he said, okay, you know, let plan what we're going to do things. He suggested that he should bring the dowry, you know, dowry, on his birthday. Yeah, that was on 24th of May, 1986. And then we got married on 30th August, 1986. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
In total, it was about 7 months between the time that you met him in the summer and the time that he proposed to you.
Because it was summer, and then we got married in summer of the following year. Yeah. And then we got our firstborn on 25th of May, 1987. That's where Chris arrived. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a wonderful story. And I'm just left wondering, what is different between, or what do you see is different between your generation and how people contacted each other, got to know each other before they asked somebody to marry them, and this generation?
Yeah, you know, during our time, I think we gave more place to our parents. Yeah. Even if you could have some feelings about somebody, do you remember I told you I had to go back the following Saturday to find out what my mom was thinking about it? But I think nowadays it's not the case. Yeah, during our time also meeting people, in Burundi we were very few. It's like we knew each other. Me, I didn't really know him because he was a bit older than me. I never saw him in our village. He's 9 years older than me, so I never saw him at school. So, but in the village, I could see how they were talking about him. But nowadays, I really don't think that young generation take all that time of investigating or asking about the person they have met to their parents and friends. It's like they do it between them. Yeah.
Do you think Chris will come to you to ask your advice?
I think he will come. I think, yeah, because Chris is my friend. Yeah. You know, before he even bought his car, he brought it home. He said, "Mom, how do you see it?" I said, "Yeah, that's a nice one." Chris is my friend. I think he will do it. But he can do it in a way just to show that he's a man, but just to I think he will do it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Françoise. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you.